thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Nathan told us a wee story last night. He said that marriage is like a workshop. He said the men work and the women shop. And that's when he started running for his life. However, one father was keen to take a day off work and to go ice fishing. He had seen many books on the subject, and finally, after getting all the necessary tools together, he made for the nearest frozen lake. After positioning his comfy stool, he started to make a circular cut in the ice. Suddenly, from the sky, a voice boomed, there are no fish under the ice. Johnny was very startled and moved further down the ice, poured a cappuccino from his flask and began to cut another hole. Again from the heavens, the voice bellowed, there are no fish under the ice. Susie at this stage could see that Johnny was now quite worried. And he moved down to the opposite end of the ice, sat on a stool and tried again to cut the ice. The same voice came once more, there are no fish under the ice. And Johnny stopped and he looked heavenwards, extremely puzzled. He said, is that you, Lord? And the voice replied, no, it's the ice rink manager. This morning we're going to be looking at the Father heart of God. So can you turn with me, please, to Psalm 103? And we're going to read this beautiful, beautiful psalm about our Heavenly Father. Psalm 103. The problem is when you get a wee bit older, your arms need to be a little bit longer, unless you wear glasses, which probably would be a good idea. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. To search his keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, who minister of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. No one, no man was going to stop that father from coming to the aid of his son in his time of need. How can we grasp how much God the Father loves us? I believe with all my heart that if we could only but grasp how big the Father heart of God is, that our hearts would be transformed and nothing would be too much for us in our service to him because of our love in return for him. The Father heart of God has been evident from the very beginning of creation. His heart was towards Adam, and he didn't want him to be alone. He provided a partner for him and Eve to give him companionship. His heart was towards Adam and Eve when they sinned in the garden, and he provided a covering for them to hide their nakedness and their shame. His heart was towards Noah and his family when he provided for them an ark to save them from the flood, and he provided a rainbow as an everlasting covenant of grace. His heart was towards Isaac when he provided a ram to take his place in the altar of sacrifice, pointing to a future time when God the Father would provide a perfect sacrifice, not for an individual, but indeed for the entirety of the human race. His heart was also towards Jacob and his family when, in God's providence, Joseph was sent ahead to Egypt, providing food in a time of great famine and preserving his chosen people. His heart was towards the nation of Israel when he provided an escape from bondage, and he sent Moses to lead them from Egypt to the promised land to inherit the bounty and the blessing of a new life and a new land. We could go on and on. The pages of scripture are laden with countless stories about the amazing Father heart of God. He is always providing for his children. Oh, how he provided for kings and prophets and shepherds and disciples as they ruled and served the people of God. How he provided for widows and orphans and the lonely and the forgotten in their time of need. Oh, how he provided for the physical and the emotional and the spiritual needs of countless thousands of desperate people. And he provided manna in the wilderness, didn't he, and water from the rock. He provided a pillar of cloud to lead them by day and a pillar of fire to guide them at night. He provided healing for lepers and sight for the blind and hearing for the deaf and speech for the mute. But most importantly, he provided salvation and a way back to heaven. You see, the Father heart of God intimately cares and provides for each and every one of us, each and every day of our lives. The picture of our Heavenly Father as a mighty king is a powerful image as well. I love this quote from Tim Keller. Came across it a couple of weeks ago. Timothy Keller passed away. He was a wonderful, wonderful Christian author and broadcaster and a Christian leader. He said this: the only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child. We have that kind of access. We have that kind of access. Access right into the very throne room of heaven, where the King of Heaven rules over all the earth. Access to be in his presence and to be close to him and intimate with him. Access to talk with him freely and to ask him absolutely anything, even for a glass of water at 3 a.m. There's an open door policy with free and unlimited access to the Father's presence. And we have that access because we have been accepted. We have that access because we have been adopted into the family of God. And so we are so privileged this morning, if only we could realize how privileged we really are. So for a few moments, I want us to look at some of the provisions from the Father heart of God. We're going to be looking at how Father God provides relationships for us, how Father God provides reconciliation for us, and how Father God provides reproval for us. And the third one isn't really very nice, to be honest, but it's scriptural, and it's all part of the Father heart of God. These stories of when fathers have to give out discipline, maybe have to correct their wayward son, and they say, oh, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. I never find that personally anyhow. Don't know about you. And so let's look first of all at how Father God provides relationships for us. I'm so glad that Danny was able to sing that this morning. And Danny, your croaking is always 100% better than the best of my singing. So you can read into that what you want. But thank you so much, Danny. You will always be a child of mine. I'm going to read out some of those words, because sometimes when we either engage in worship or singing, or we hear somebody singing, we can get caught up maybe in the music or the sound or the atmosphere or the emotion. And I'm as guilty as perhaps you are with that. And here's some of the words. I was there when you drew the breath of life, and I could hear your voice the first time you cried. And though you couldn't see me, I was very near. There's something now that I want you to hear. You will always be a child in my eyes. And when you need some love, my arms are open wide. And even when you're growing old, I hope you'll realize you will always be a child of mine. And I was there the first time that you prayed, and I heard all the promises that you made. And when you fell before me crying, Father, I have sinned, I picked you up and I held you close again. You will always be a child in my eyes. Aren't those beautiful words? Wow, what a relationship we have with God, our Heavenly Father. The Father heart of God provides relationships for us on so many different levels, not only with him, and it's absolutely phenomenal that we have that access into the presence of our Heavenly Father, that unlimited access. But we have relationships with so many different people on so many different levels. We think of friendships. There are a truly great gift from God. I thank God for the friendships that I have in people, and the friendships then that Esther and I have with other people and with couples, and it's so special and so precious to have that. But remember this, to have a friend, you must be a friend. Sometimes people say, I have no friends. Is that because you're not friendly? To have a friend, you have to be a friend. And then we have relationships with our family, our parents, our grandparents, if you were fortunate enough maybe to know or to meet your grandparents. One of my grandparents, my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, I never knew her. She passed away when she was 53 and I was 3 years of age. We thank God for our parents and our grandparents, our siblings. Even though at times there's sibling rivalry, we could kill them one moment and we would die for them the next moment. That's just sibling rivalry. We thank God for husbands and wives and partners and girlfriends and boyfriends, for children. It's really lovely to see Carrie Louise and Nathan up with us this weekend. So we think of our children and we think of our wider family circle. We think of relationships with colleagues. I don't know about your workplace, and some workplaces may not be easy, and I understand that, but I personally am so grateful for the colleagues and the friends that I have within ministry. Love to meet them, and you know that. I'm a bit of an open book. You know that I like to meet people for coffee and for chat, and I thank God for genuine friendships with friends and colleagues. And then, folks, we think of our church family. You know that we're big into family, but we're big into church family. We love to refer to our church here as our church family, because that is exactly what it is. Our church family, each and every one of you are precious to us and precious to one another. We have your back and you have our back, and that is absolutely right that is the case. But no matter how good our relationships are in all of those different levels and aspects, nothing will eclipse our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And then for a moment, we're going to consider that Father God provides reconciliation for us. And of course, we see the cross in that image. And this was the greatest ever provision that any father could and has made in the history of mankind. Roy, you led us so beautifully round the table, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, and I'll never tire of saying it. This is one of the most precious times in the week. 7 days goes round very quickly, and I don't know about you, but a lot goes on in a week. There's a lot goes on in the space of a week. And sometimes we come in on a Sunday morning and we could be battered and bruised with just what the week has thrown at us and our family or personally. And we come in and we take time and we slow down and we consider and we reflect upon what the Lord did for us. It's that moment of reset when we come round the table. We think of the greatest ever sacrifice that any son or man has ever made for his friends. God the Father reveals the true extent of his love for us and the depth of his grace towards us by sending his son Jesus. And why? So that you and I could be ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. I think that's a hymn, isn't it? That's a great hymn. Is it? Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Wesley's nodding at me, so I must have got that one right. Yeah, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. You see, we are reconciled to to our loving Heavenly Father. And that word means that there's been a restoration. And why has there been a restoration or the need for it? Because we have been estranged from our Heavenly Father because of sin. And so the cross of Calvary is the bridge that God commissioned and that Jesus built so that once and forever we might experience peace, that we might receive forgiveness and be reconciled, which means to be restored to the heart of a holy and a just God. And of course, you'll not need me to tell you what perhaps is the most famous Bible verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It was Danny who was saying that Heather had put up that verse and had emphasized a word. I love that word, so. For God so loved the world. It's the emphasis. His love. I can't even put it into words. You know what I'm trying to say, but can't say it. He just loved us so, so much. The emphasis, it reveals the extent of his love that he gave. You see, love gives. Love gives. That is the nature, that is the very heart of love, is that it gives. You'll know that today as well in the relationships that you have. And why did he do that? So that none of us would go to a lost eternity. Hell was never made for any of us. It was made for the devil and his angels. And so God sent his Son. He loved us so much so that we would spend all of eternity with our loving Heavenly Father. It's even more amazing when you think of what the writer to the book of Romans states, and he says that while we were yet sinners, you can interpret that a different way if you want, while we were yet his enemies. I don't know about you, but it's easy to be nice to and to be friendly with and to sit down and have a coffee with somebody who's your friend. How many of us do that with our enemies? How many of us do that with somebody who's awkward? Nobody here. Somebody who kind of grates on us a wee bit. And yet the Word of God says that God demonstrated his love towards us, that while we were sinners, while we were in enmity to him, while we were his enemies, that he sent Jesus to die for us. I love the story. I'm sure you've heard it before. The story goes that Jesus was asked, how much do you love the world? And he stretched out his arms and he said, I love it this much. Picturing, of course, him hanging on the cross. That is how much Jesus love the world. We thank God that he provides reconciliation for us. And this is the nasty part. Unfortunately, the Bible's not like a menu. It's not like going in for a meal where we can leave the starter, have the main course, and have two desserts. Somebody was telling us the other day, if they go out as a couple, they have one starter, and they split it, and they have a main course each, and then they have one dessert, and they split that. I don't think splitting desserts really is all that smart a thing, to be honest. But we don't really like this part of the Father heart of God. We don't like the fact that at times we get the thumbs down, that there is something that God needs to say or do in our lives. Just happened to stumble across this. I don't know if this is true. In the UK, I know there's some school teachers here. I don't know if it's another country. I don't know if it's relevant. I don't know if it's up to date. But classroom management states that there are three types of discipline. There is preventative discipline, measures taken to preempt misbehavior by keeping students engaged. Then there's supportive discipline, measures taken to assist students with self-control by helping them to get back on task. And then there is corrective discipline, measures taken when students are not following classroom or school rules. And listen, folks, in a sense, we're all students. We're all students. We're all in the training camp. Sandra trained yesterday and many other times in the past, and I'm sure there'll be more. Sorry, Sandra. I know you love it. You do genuinely love it. and there must be something wrong with you, because it's not an easy ministry. And all the paperwork and all that you do, fantastic. But listen, folks, we're all students. We're all learning. We're all in the classroom. We're all in the training room as far as our walk is concerned. In my day, teachers were very quick to apply the hand of correction to the seat of learning. Reproval meaning, some common synonyms of reprove are admonish, chide, rebuke, reprimand, reproach. While all of these words mean to criticize adversely, reprove, listen to this, reprove implies an often kindly intent to correct a fault. I love how that is written and worded. Is that not the Father heart of God? Is that not his heart? Where his intent is driven by his kindness. His intent to reprove us and correct a fault that we have made is to gently, graciously, and compassionately bring us back into line. Although none of us like to be disciplined by God or by anyone, it's a spiritual principle and it's for our own benefit. And I'm going to prove it to you if you'll turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, towards the end of the Old Testament. Just before the book of James, Hebrews 12, we're going to pick up a little section under the discipline of God. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. The writer to Hebrews, because we're not quite sure who the author was, says this, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons, my son," of course quoting from the Old Testament, from Job, "my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens," that's from several Psalms, "and he scourges every son whom he receives." If you endure chastening, I'm going to add other words to that, if you endure chastening, if you endure disciplining, if you endure training, rebuking, reproving, if you endure that, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten, reprove, teach, or train? But if you are without chastening, reproving, teaching, training, what's the word of God saying here? It's actually extremely strong language. It is perhaps one of the most strongest language and wording used in the word of God. If God doesn't chasten you, then you're illegitimate. You're not his son. But we're not illegitimate. We are his sons. We are his daughters. And that's why he has to reprove us. Furthermore, we had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit or our gain or our benefit, that we may be, listen, partakers in his holiness. That's the Father heart of God, that we may be partakers in his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness by those who have been trained by it, those who have been reproved, those who have been admonished. And so we see the word of God is very strong about the fact that the Father heart of God reproves us. And so the purpose of God reproving us is actually quite simple, and it's in verse 10 and verse 11, and we highlighted it there now, that we may be partakers of his holiness, verse 10, that in verse 11, that our lives might yield the fruit of righteousness. They're one and the same thing. The Father heart of God provides and exercises reproof, which is discipline and correction and chastening, so that we will become more like him. Do you want to be more like Jesus? Well, then I'm sorry, he's going to have to reprove us on occasions. The terms holy and righteous, they might be old-fashioned Bible terms, but they are so true. He reproves us out of his great love for us that we might become better people. And so as I wrap this up this morning, that is a little glimpse. It's only a glimpse. It's only a little insight into the Father heart of God, that he provides relationships for us on all different levels. That the Father heart of God provides reconciliation for us through the cross, bridging the gap between heaven and earth, between sinful man and a holy God. And the Father heart of God provides reproval for us. And I'm going to finish with this. And sometimes when preachers say it, they don't finish. They keep finishing. But I'm going to finish with this. An old man meets a young man. And the young man asks the older man, "Do you remember me?" The old man says, "No." The young man then tells him a story when he was a student. The teacher asks, "What do you do in life?" The young man answers, "Well, I became a teacher." "Ah, how good, like me," asks the old man. "Well, yes, in fact, I became a teacher because you inspired me to be like you." The old man, curious, asks the young man at what time he decided to become a teacher. The young man tells this fascinating story. "One day," he said, "a friend of mine came into school and he brought with him a beautiful watch. I decided that I wanted that watch, and so I stole it from him out of his pocket. Shortly after, my friend noticed that his watch was missing, and immediately he complained to you, our teacher, who was you. Then you addressed the class saying the student's watch was stolen during classes today. Whoever stole it, please return it. I didn't give it back because I wanted to keep it. You closed the door. You told us all to stand up and form a circle. You were going to search our pockets one by one until the watch was found. However, you told us to close our eyes because you would only look for his watch if we all had our eyes closed. We did as instructed. You went from pocket to pocket, and when you went through my pocket, you found the watch and you took it. You kept searching everyone's pockets. And when you were finished, you said, 'Open your eyes. I have found the watch.' You didn't tell on me. You never mentioned the episode. You never said who had stolen the watch either. That day you saved my dignity. It was the most shameful day of my life. But this was also the day that I decided that I would not become a thief, that I would not become a bad person. You never said anything, nor did you scold me or take me aside to give me a moral lesson. But I received your message very clearly. Thanks to you, I understood what a real educator needs to be. Do you remember this episode, Professor?" The old professor answered, "Yes, I remember the situation of the stolen watch, and I was looking in everyone's pocket. But I didn't remember you because I closed my eyes while I was looking." This is the essence of the Father heart of God. He doesn't shame us. He doesn't humiliate us. He teaches us in a loving and in a caring manner. And that's why we are who we are today. He doesn't remember our mistakes. Because of the tenderness and the compassion of a kind and a gracious God, who we get to call our loving and your heaven. Love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.